All right, if you wish to follow along, I invite your attention back to the Song of Solomon. And turn to Song of Solomon chapter 1 for right now, although this will not be my text. The Song of Solomon. Everyone who would read this book, that is the Song of Solomon, with the single eye of faith, everyone who would read this book, knowing and seeing that Jesus Christ is preeminent, everyone who reads this book will see that this book is about Jesus Christ and His church. There's never been a marriage amongst the fallen sons and daughters of Adam that fits this book. Once Adam fell, Mason, we lost the ability to walk in a way that would truly honor the words of this book. That doesn't mean we shouldn't seek to walk as closely to it as we can in our relationships. But this book is not about our relationship to one another as husband and wife. This book is about our relationship to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His relationship to us.
Amen.
Christ's love for the church is seen in several ways, in many ways, far more than I'll be able to present to you in this series of messages. Mason, even the passages I will speak from, I'm not going to be able to take every word and show you all of its meaning. I just don't have that ability. Nevertheless, Christ's love for the church is seen here in several ways. And one way is we see Christ's sovereign drawing of His own to Himself. Think about this. He initiates any grace that's ever experienced. Chapter 1 and verse 2. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Do you see it? Let Him do it. He has to initiate this thing. We know that the Apostle Paul was clear in this. For by grace are you saved through faith. And we dare not switch that around. Most of so-called Christianity today turns that around and says, for by faith are you saved through grace. And what they're talking about is this. If the sinner comes up with faith, then God will give that sinner grace. That is not what this book teaches. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. That is, the grace is not of works. The faith is not of works, and the salvation is not of works. Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. And there will be no boasting before God. Jesus Christ initiates any grace experience. But not only that, His name declares His purpose of grace. Look at verse 3. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. You know the passage. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. Faith is not my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ gives me faith with which to embrace Him as my Savior. So we see here He initiates grace experienced, and His name declares His purpose of grace like ointment poured forth. Have you ever smelled just that smell that you really like? You want more of that smell, don't you? It just permeates your whole being. And Max, sometimes even when the smell's gone, you can still remember it in here.
Yeah.
And you can still feel it in here. You know what I'm talking about? Look at it. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. His name was called Jesus. And Ellen, He lived up to His name. He saved His people from their sins. He is saving His people from their sins. And He shall yet save His people from their sins. But here's the third thing. His work of grace is the cause of our coming to Him. Look at verse 4. Draw me. Draw me. And what? We will run after thee. You see, when God Almighty, in free, sovereign, saving grace, draws an individual, you don't have to beg them to come to Jesus Christ. You don't have to plead with them to come to Jesus Christ. When He draws, they will run to Him. And I want you to notice, this lets us know this book is not just about Solomon and some Shulamite. Look at it. Draw me. You see that next word? We. Right? We, not I, although that's certainly true, isn't it, Mason? But draw me, we will run after thee. The King hath brought me. Do you see that? The King hath brought me into His chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee when we remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. You remember what our Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. What is given? The ability to come. The desire to come. The faith with which to come. The repentance back with which to turn from everything else to run after Him. Amen. All of this is initiated by, sustained by, and carried out by the Lord of glory Himself. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation is a work of God. It's not a work of man. And as one pastor pointed out, there was an individual who said that the Bible nowhere declares the salvation, or says the salvation is by grace alone. And that pastor said about the man who said that, he's exactly right. It doesn't say that anywhere. It teaches it everywhere. Amen. Salvation is a work of God. But grace experienced is not the beginning of grace, is it? Grace experienced is not the beginning of grace. All grace experienced in time was given to God's people in Christ Jesus before the world began. Look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you're following along. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and listen to what the Apostle Paul said to this young man Timothy. He said, of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. And then look at that, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Chad Adams, if you got grace today, it's because God gave you grace before the world began.
Amen.
If anyone here in this assembly has grace today, it's because God actually gave you grace before the foundation of the world. And how can God do that? Because God is the creator and maker of all things. He does according to His will among the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. But now think about this. The Song of Solomon is not silent on this matter. Now here's my text. Turn to chapter 8. And we'll read to you a passage that probably will not be read in most churches. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and just three verses. Are you there? Chapter 8, let's begin in verse 8. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breasts like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Have you ever read that and just wondered what in the world is Solomon talking about? Think about this. We all were, at one time, the little sister.
Yeah.
And that's the title of my message, The Little Sister. Every believer was at the first, the little sister. Now, I will be brief. I will not be too long this morning. Think about it. The little sister is a sister even before she ever manifests the marks of her sisterhood. Isn't that what you see there? Now, no matter how you approach this, now there is the right way to approach it. That's God and His people. That's Christ and the church. But no matter how you approach this, you have to admit the little sister was a sister before she ever manifests the marks of her sisterhood. Is that not what this is saying? Did not our Lord Jesus Christ call His sheep sheep even before they're brought to Him by Himself? Huh? He said in John chapters 10 and verse 16, "And other sheep I have." Therefore, Mason, I know they already existed as far as he was concerned. And he already possessed them as sheep as far as he was concerned. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Think about it. Even before the little sister has the ability to embrace Christ, that's what it's talking about. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. Now, how do I know that's what it's talking about? This is not talking about some sexual thing, Mac. Look at what it say. It begins this way in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 13. I mentioned it last week for this purpose. "A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts." We're talking about before this individual, David Wright, before this person ever had the ability to embrace Christ, they were still Christ's property.
Amen.
They were still Christ's church. They were still Christ's elect. They were still Christ's sheep. We're owned, lock, stock, and barrel by Him, by sovereign election. What did we just sing? She was His bride before she knew she had a husband dear. And when for her His choice was made, and this is, the writer is here talking about the election coming to fruition in time. And when for her His choice was made, what does it say? It caused her to draw near. And when you draw near to the Savior, you know what? He's going to give you the ability to embrace Him. He gives you the faith with which you lay hold on Him. And I remember Earl saying this years ago, faith is actually more God laying hold of us than it is us laying hold of God. I like that statement. Why? Because faith is a gift of God. Why? Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith doesn't dwell or well up in me. Mac, my old nature is not the fountain of any faith. The Spirit of God alone is the fountain of that faith.
Amen, that's right.
So I say that the little sister is a sister even before she ever manifests the marks of her sisterhood. God said, God in flesh said, "My sheep hear my voice." He said, "I call them," how? By name. By name. And think about this. Inability is our lot. By nature, we have no breasts. By nature, Mac, I have no ability to embrace the God of all glory. By nature, I am against Him. By nature, I am His enemy. By nature, I despise Him. By nature, I will not come to Him. But when He in grace calls me, when He draws me, when He sends His gospel to me, not in word only, but in power, then we will, what? We will run after Him.
Amen.
Why are people not hearing the gospel today? Here's why. Because God is not drawing them.
That's right.
That's right. Because God is not drawing them. Are they unable? Yes, they're unable. But if He ever draws them, Mac, they will come.
That's right. Amen.
Why is there little, if any, response to the preaching of the gospel in this area? We might say, well, the gospel's not preached very much in this area. That's not the point. If God wanted it preached more, Mason, it'd be preached more.
That's right.
It's being preached exactly as many times and as much as God Almighty ordained before the foundation of the world. The reason men and women are not coming is because He's not drawing. And look at what our Lord said. Turn to it in John chapter 6. And I want to read these words, but I don't want to misquote this. Listen to what He said. John chapter 6. And bear with me just a moment until I find it here. Yes, look at it. Verse 44. "No man can come to me." Now that's what Christ said Himself, didn't He? Now, whose word will you take? His word or the word of some preacher? Countless thousands today are teaching. Anybody can come. They just won't. That's not what Christ said. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Isn't that what we read in Song of Solomon? Draw me. What? We will run after thee. Look at it. Look. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And this is not something new. It is written in the prophets. You see it? And they shall all be taught of God. Not one more and not one less. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? Comes to me. So then why are men and women today not coming to Christ? Because they haven't learned of the Father. Because He has not drawn them. Because they are not a little sister. Now, let me give you this last thing. Here's number two. But the little sister shall be spoken for. Do you see it? Look at it. We have a little sister, and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? God Almighty has a bride, and have that bride as His wife He will. Look at it. We have a little sister. Have you ever gotten angry with someone because they couldn't understand what you was talking about when you talked about Christ? Have you? But do you remember the time when you were the same way? We ought not become angry with men and women, Mac. They can't. They have no breasts. They have no ability to embrace the Savior. We call upon them to embrace the Savior, and rightfully so. He ought to be embraced, but they cannot. They have no breasts.
That's right.
No place to embrace the Savior. No ability to embrace the Savior. But if they're one of God's, if they're truly a little sister, one day she shall be spoken for. Do you see that? One day God Almighty will ring forth in sovereign saving grace, and He will draw that individual unto Himself. Now, let me just give you this. Look at it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, the Apostle Paul put his salvation in this light. But when, do you hear it? But when it pleased God. No one has ever been saved a moment too late. And no one's ever been saved a moment too early. There is a day and a specific time when every little sister shall be spoken for. Right? That's what this says. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, when it pleased Him to do what? To reveal His Son where? In me. You're not going to know Jesus Christ is there till He's already invaded your soul and took up residence there on the throne of your heart. He does that first. The little sister shall be spoken for. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Luke records it this way. And the Lord added daily to the church such as Roy Jr., what did he say? Such as should be saved. Isn't that what it says? And the Lord added daily. Why? If there's a day when one's not added, Mason, you know why? Because He didn't ordain one to be added that day. And if there's a day that He's ordained for one or thousands to be added to the church, guess what? They shall be added. This thing is about a marriage, and God will have His bride. God will marry that bride, and God will have His wife in her fullness. Are we not said to be Christ's body? And members in particular? And Christ is not going to have a wife without an arm. He's not going to have a wife without a leg. He's not going to have a wife missing one eye. Mason, every single one of God's people will be called in the very specific day that God has ordained for them to be spoken for. The little sister, not only that, she shall be what? She shall be like her kind. Look at it. Look at what the Shulamite cries out. I am a wall. And my breasts like towers. Beloved, I know we don't boast. She's not boasting here except in the work of God. Who made her a tower? God did. Who gave her these breasts? God did. You see, we're given this marvelous gift of faith. We ought to brag about God concerning that thing.
Amen. That's right.
Not everyone's given that. Look at it. If she be a wall, we'll build upon her a palace of silver. If she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. How do I know? Well, I am a wall.
Yeah.
If God can and did do this for me, then God can and will do it for every one of His people. I remember an account. And I forget the pastor's name now, but one of his fellows had said to him, some really cantankerous, wicked, evil sinner had been brought to Christ. And he said, well, he said, it just, and he said to the one man said to the pastor, he said, well, I'll never doubt now as to the salvation being possible for anybody. And that pastor said, since God saved me, I've never doubted God's ability since. You see, the fact is, if God Almighty can lay hold of a sinner like me and cause him to come to Christ, He can lay hold of anybody, and He will in His appointed day. You remember what Luke also said, Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And as many as were ordained to eternal life did what? They embraced Christ. And let me say, this is what believing is. Believing is not accepting the facts. Believing is embracing Christ.
Amen.
You will believe the true doctrine of Christ in God's good time, but believing Christ is embracing Christ. Trusting Christ is holding on to Christ. You remember what Jacob said to that angel? The angel said, "Let me go." And you know who that angel was, don't you? That angel was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ Himself. And Christ said, "Let me go." And what did Jacob say? "I will not let you go till you bless me." He didn't force God to do anything. But he knew his only place of blessing was that messenger. You see that? "I will not let you go." The little sister will be like her kind. Not only that, redemption will be her lot. If she be a wall, what are we going to do? We're going to build upon her a palace of what? Silver. What does silver have to do with anything? It has to do with nothing. It's about redemption. Now think about it. Christ is the Redeemer. Is that not true? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Is that not true? Christ hath obtained eternal redemption for us. Is that not true? And that was true before. That was true for me. That was true for you before we ever even had the ability to embrace it.
Yeah.
Is it not true? But guess what? There comes a time when God enables us by faith to embrace it. And remember, faith cometh. That's not cometh into being, but cometh to manifestation. Faith cometh by hearing.
Yeah.
And hearing by the Word of God. And how has God ordained for that to take place? The elder sister. You see, we pass along the truth of God's grace to our little sisters. We sing a song, "Let us help them on to God." Isn't that what we sing in that song, Mason? You remember? You see, when you preach Christ to someone, you're not preaching down to them, you're preaching Him up. You must declare what they are. If she be a wall, what's a wall? It's something you build up to keep something out. Right? If she be a wall, you read some of the commentators, they really go crazy here. I said some of them. They say this was talking about the Shulamite's little sister, and this is about before she was married, whether she was promiscuous or not. And I'm thinking, God help these people. Because that's where their minds are. They read God's book and they're thinking about the flesh. They read God's book, they're thinking about sex. They're not thinking about Christ. And even if she be a wall, what are we going to do? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. You see, redemption in Jesus Christ has the ability to conquer anyone, anywhere, at any time. And it shall be in the day when the little sister is spoken for. It'll conquer. But if she be what? A door. What's a door? A door is something you let things in and out with, isn't it? Isn't that what a door is? If she be a door, think of it. Redemption will be her lot, but protection will be her lot as well. If she be a door, what is it? We will enclose her with boards of cedar. You see? Mason, all too often, we let the wrong things in. Don't we? We'll put up a wall, Mac, or we'll be like a swinging door. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about a hinge. If you look at the actual Hebrew word, it's talking about the hinge on the door. And we're one that goes this way, Mac, back and forth, back and forth. We'll let anything in. But all, thank God, He encloses us. Look at it. We will enclose her with boards of cedar. Let me just give you this reminder. To every believer here this morning, the grace of God that you know today, it ain't no fluke. We sit here, and we gather together here. We are so small in numbers. We are so weak. Mason, we're weak in what we're able to do for the Lord. We are. We don't have much might. We don't have much strength. But our God is the God of heaven and earth.
Amen. That's right.
The God who was with those 5,000 that were saved way back yonder is the same God that we serve today. And if He's pleased to call one or 1,000 or none, that's His business. Is it not? So, believer, I say to you, the grace of God that you know today is no fluke. God ordained that grace, and He gave you that grace before you ever even existed. How much more do you think He's not going to preserve that grace for you and in you and upon you today? Mason, all of the history that's in this book from Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the history of today, was to bring me to embrace Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All of the rising of nations and all of the falling of nations, the rising of powers and God putting down of powers, was all to bring you and I to bow to the feet of Jesus Christ. And He also, He gave me this grace in Christ before the world ever was. Roy Jr., before God created the first blade of grass, He'd already given me grace. Before God Almighty created the first tree, He'd already given me grace. Before God ever created the universe and all of its glories, He'd already given me grace. And everything is designed by God to sustain me and keep me in that very grace. Why do I have any reason not to trust Him? Mason, He did that. He did this for me when I was still shaking my fist in rebellion against Him. When I was but a little sister that had no breast and was defying God not only with my words, but with my heart and my whole being, yet His love was set upon me. Let me read you Isaiah, and I just want to turn to this one. I think it's Isaiah chapter 43, and I'll end with this. Look at it. Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Do you see that? But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, He didn't say He's going to preserve us from the water. When you want to pass through the water, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee when thou walkest through the fire. He's not going to preserve you from the fire. He'll preserve you in the fire. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And you say, how's that true? Through all that you've went through, you still believe Christ. It ain't about whether you lost your job. It ain't about whether you lost your car. It ain't about whether you had to pay extra money for this. It's about your everlasting eternal soul and bowing down to Christ Jesus. That's the glory.
Amen.
Look, for I am the Lord. Now think about this. Thy God. The Holy One of Israel. Thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. It's exactly what I was talking about a minute ago. God raises up nations and he casts down nations, but he's doing all of this for the salvation of his people.
Amen.
Look, since thou wast precious in my sight, I know you look, you say, with the Shulamite, I'm black, but comely. How do I have the right to say that? Because he's the one that says he looks at me that way. That's why. Look at it. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. Somebody said, but that's not the way I see myself. It ain't about how you see yourself. It's about how God sees you.
Amen. That's right.
Look, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not. For I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Look at it. Even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. And God's going to get glory out of you.
Amen.
If you're his, he's going to get glory out of you. If in no other way, they said, one way is by saving a sinner like we are. Look at it. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Therefore, he says what? Bring forth the blind people that have eyes. You think about that? Therefore, look at it. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Where does that come from? Where does the seeing eye and the hearing ear come from? It comes from the Lord. So let me say it again. Believer, trust God. I remember Tim James saying this years ago, and it just struck me like a big hammer striking an anvil. He said, it's okay to believe God. Think about that. It's okay to believe God. It's okay to just believe God. Enoch walked with the Lord. How? By faith.
Amen.
There was no law. What was there to guide his moral compass? Nothing but God himself. Nothing but what God had done inside of him. Abraham had no law. What was there to guide him? It's not a what, it's a who. God was there. But I say this to every unbeliever. You're in God's hands. And whether he shows you compassion or whether he hardens you, that's up to him. Your only hope is that you're a little sister.
Amen.
That's your only hope. Even though right now you have no breast, you're unable to embrace him. One day, whenever he speaks for you, you will have a palace of silver built upon your wall. And your doors shall, you will be enclosed with boards of cedar. Why? Because God Almighty intends to have you, and have you, he will.
Yeah.
Father, oh God, comfort us by these truths. Comfort us by your word. Enable us by your spirit to embrace our Lord, to pull him in close, to smell the glories of his person and work. And Lord, help us to brag on him. Help us to boast about him. And help us to exalt him in that way that's possible. And ask it in Christ's name. Amen.